have a few scriptures to read this evening from God's Word. First one in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 45. It's on page 886. Page 886. The book of Isaiah and the tail end of verse 21. So just at the end of verse 21. And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. And this is God speaking here. The next verse, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. John 14, verse 6. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. And then finally, also, in another book that John wrote, in the Epistle of John, 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 14. 1 John 4, verse 14, page number 1482. And we have seen and testify that the Father, that's God, sent the Son as Saviour of the world. I want to present to you tonight an invitation. An invitation from God himself to you. I've come here this evening to speak about Jesus. And it's my desire in speaking about Jesus that you might be saved. That you may come to know him as your Saviour and your Lord. Many things in the world that can depress us. There's many things in the world, much bad news in the world. Much bad news throughout the whole world. You think of the cost of living, it's going up, costing so much for people to buy food, to buy petrol, to buy all sorts of things. And it's from one day to the next, there always seems to be bad news in the world, doesn't there? There's not much good news in the newspapers, is there? But tonight you've come to hear about the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you in the gospel tonight that there is good news to present to you. There's a wonderful Saviour, and it's a message from God himself, an invitation from God to you. Everyone in this hall is invited. God is inviting you tonight to come and hear the gospel about his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your name is on the invitation list. God has sent out the message. It says that God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is why I'm here tonight. I'm one who has been saved by the precious blood of Jesus. I am one who has come to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Saviour. And I have seen it. And I'm here to testify. As it said in our last scripture we read, we've seen and we testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. That is why I'm here tonight, and that is why each night on a Sunday, the doors are open of this hall, that you may come and hear the message of the gospel, that anyone in Basildon, man, woman, child, can come in through the doors and hear the gospel from God himself about his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we're here, to tell you about the wonderful salvation that God has provided in Jesus. The world has many answers for loads of different questions. And you know, if you asked the people in the world today, what is the way to heaven? What is the way to life? What is the way to peace and joy and satisfaction? What do you think? Some would say, well, if I had lots of money. Some might say, well, if I had a good job. Some might say, I had a big house. And the list can go on and on and on. And so many people have obtained all these things. And they might be the richest man, the richest woman in the whole world. But they find that there's no joy once they've got everything. In fact, Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? And this is why the gospel is preached, because God has an answer that man does not have. God has an answer for our condition before him. The scriptures tell us that we've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We read in the scriptures, don't we, how sin came into the world by one man, it says, and by sin, death. God, the creator, the one God of the universe who created this world, who created all things, and on the seventh day it tells us, after 6 days he created everything, on the seventh day he rested, and it tells us in the scriptures that Satan came along and tempted Adam and Eve, and they sinned before a holy and a just God. And tonight, the message of the gospel is going out from a just God. We read in this scripture in Isaiah, it says, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a saviour." This is the message that we're preaching tonight. We're preaching about a just God and a saviour. And the scriptures tell us that this wonderful God has provided a wonderful salvation plan that includes you, that you might be saved. You know, our sins, they've separated us from a holy and a just God. The scriptures tell us that God is holy, he's righteous, and in our sins we are far from him. Not because God does not love us, but because he is holy and just, and he cannot have one sin in his presence. And the scripture says that he's provided a wonderful saviour. In fact, our hymn, it said, isn't it, in the first, "The Father sent the Son, a ruined world to save." A ruined world to save. Because of sin, this world's been ruined. We see it, don't we? We see death, we see corruption all around us. But God has the answer, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has the answer. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a baby. He grew up, and at the age of 12, he was speaking in the temple. He was speaking about eternal life. He was speaking about how you can receive eternal life in the Lord Jesus. And he said later on, when he began his public ministry, how one of his cousins, actually, it was John the Baptist, wasn't it? And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then we read where we read in John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his own disciples there. He says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, Jesus is the one that God has sent into this world, that you might be saved. God desires for you to be saved. No one needs to perish. No one needs to face the judgment of God, because God, in his love, in his grace, has provided a wonderful saviour, Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful saviour who saved me. He's the wonderful saviour who can save you. But we need to look to the one who has provided this salvation. God is calling out to mankind tonight. Another opportunity has been given to us to preach the gospel. And in this scripture, God is speaking, "Look unto me, look unto me, and be ye saved." Look to God and be ye saved. God desires for you to be saved. You're never too young, you're never too old to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You know, there's coming a day, the doors of this hall will be closed. And the windows will be closed. And there will be no gospel preaching preached in this hall. And I don't say that to scare anyone, but in order that you may realise your need of a saviour. Because there's coming a day, you know, when Jesus, he said himself, "I'm coming." We don't know the day when that will be, but we know it's coming. But the gospel goes out in urgency, that you may call upon the name of the Lord and you may be saved. You know, Jesus said those wonderful words, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be." What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Saviour Jesus is. The one who came into this world, he did many wonderful things, didn't he? He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He did wonderful, wonderful works and wonderful, fed the hungry, didn't he? He fed 4,000 people. He fed 5,000 people. He calmed the raging seas. This is the Saviour that we're presenting to you in the Gospel. This is the Saviour, the one who loves you and loves you so much that he came into this world that you might be saved. Yes, the wonderful works of Jesus, they're wonderful, and they tell us that he is the Son of God. They tell us that he has been given all authority by God himself to come into this world to save us. He's the marked out Son of God in power, isn't he? But the wonderful work that Jesus did that stands out throughout all time, do you know what it is? It's what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. It's what Jesus did when he went to Jerusalem, where he was put on a cross. Nails for his hands and feet. Men at that time said, away with him. We do not want him to reign over us. People said, many times it tells us, it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the time, that's the religious leaders of the day, they thought that they should kill him. And they thought to push him off a cliff, it says at one time. They sought to push him off a cliff after he was preaching once. And you know how sad that is, but it exposes the heart of man. How, you know, the Lord Jesus, he was just, he was holy, he was without sin. And yet God sent him into the world of sinners to save us, to redeem us, to bring us to God. The just one, the Lord Jesus, died for the unjust, that's you and me, that we might be brought to God. That is the wonderful hope in the gospel. You know, the wonderful hope that God has provided this Saviour, Jesus. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The gospel goes out to all the ends of the earth, that whoever will may be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. It's not a selective process, you know. It's whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And they will come to know the joy and the peace that he offers in the gospel. Jesus said in that scripture we read in John 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. He doesn't say I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. It says I am the way. It singles Jesus out. He's singling himself out as the only way to peace, the only way to heaven, the only way to joy, the only way to having satisfaction in your heart. And I have seen it, and I have can testify to that tonight. And that's why I read that scripture in 1 John, because it really does highlight the wonderful fact that why we're here tonight, why we're preaching the gospel, why we're speaking about Jesus. The Father sent the Son as the Saviour of the world. There are many people throughout the scriptures, throughout this wonderful book in that makes up the Bible, who speak about Jesus. You know, the Apostle John also said, herein is love, not that we love God, that he loved us and gave himself appreciation for our sins. This is a wonderful, wonderful hope we have. And there are many other illustrations or stories we can read from. We can read from one in John 4. Come see a man, this woman said, who went to the well day after day to fill her water pot. Come see a man who told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? And it's that same man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who changed the life of that woman at the well, who changed the life of John, one of the disciples, who changed the life of so many people who we're speaking about tonight. It's that same Jesus. That same Jesus who we're speaking about. And he can save you. And he can bring you peace. He can bring you joy. He can bring you into this very eternal life. You can actually claim it tonight. You can actually receive it by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross, who died on Calvary's cross. He said, it is finished, before he died. And he gave up his spirit, it says. And it tells us in the scriptures that he was buried and he was raised the third day. But why did Jesus go to the cross? He went to the cross for our sins. Yes, our sins that keep us far from God. Jesus came into the world that they may be removed. We may be forgiven of our sins. It tells us in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9, tells us that God will remember our sins no more. God will remember our sins no more. You know, God desires for you to be saved. And God has sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. And Jesus died once at the cross, once for all, it says in Hebrews, that you might be saved. And you can be saved tonight by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. A real saviour, a real man, a real person who died, who has died, but who lives again. That's the reason we know that the salvation is real, you could say, or it stands out. The one we know, the one who died for our sins, who shed his precious blood for our sins. Yes, he died, but he lives again. He couldn't be kept in the grave. They put a stone in front of the tomb of Jesus. The stone was rolled away. Not to let him out, but to let us in. Because Jesus had already been risen from the grave. Jesus had been risen, and the disciples, they came to the tomb, and they saw the stone was rolled away. In fact, on the way, they're talking amongst themselves. They say, how are we going to move this massive stone out of the way? We can't possibly move it. They found that it had been rolled away. And they walked through the door, and they found the tomb was empty. The grave clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in, they saw them. They neatly piled, sitting in a neat pile in the tomb. They thought the body had been stolen. But no, the Saviour lives. The Saviour who died, the Saviour they loved, who lives. And he was risen. What a Saviour. What a Saviour. There's many accounts of people who saw the risen Lord Jesus. You know, there was one where Mary, she thought the Lord Jesus was the gardener. He was speaking to her. And he thought, tell us where he's laid him. Tell us where he's laid him, because she loved the Lord. She came see him, and the tomb was empty. And the Lord had a little conversation when she realised it was him. Joy filled her heart, didn't it? How wonderful it is. There's many scriptures that tell us about people who saw Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul. A man who went about persecuting Christians, denied that Jesus was the Son of God, murdered many people who even claimed to know Jesus. The scriptures tell us how Paul, on the Damascus road, he was travelling along, and a bright light came out of heaven, and it tells us that Jesus spoke to him from heaven. The risen Lord Jesus, he spoke to Saul from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know, the Lord Jesus, he changed the life of the Apostle Paul, a man who went about persecuting Christians, who went about doing many vile acts in the name of God. But he had to come to it, didn't he? That he was wrong in his heart, and that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus was the Saviour. And that same man, he said, you know, he came to it, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and now I live through him. This is the joy. The joy that we want you to receive tonight. And you can receive it by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Putting your faith and trust in the Saviour. The Lord Jesus who died, but who also lives again. You know, Jesus came into this world because there was no other way. There was no other way for us to be saved. God desires for you to be saved. God wants you to be saved in the gospel. And the scriptures tell us there's no other way. Even Jesus himself, In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was taken by the soldiers, he cried out to his God and Father, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, and it wasn't possible. There wasn't any other way. There wasn't any other way in which men could be saved. And so Jesus faithfully went on to Calvary's cross, where he laid down his life for you and for me. And Jesus, he willingly did that for you. The one who knew no sin, the one who was perfect in God's eyes, the one who God shone a light on while he was being baptized, it says. So this is my beloved son in whom I found my delight. This is the same Jesus who we're presenting to you in the gospel tonight. And it's the same Jesus who can save you from your sins and bring peace with God. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto God and be saved. The Saviour God, that he is presenting himself in this invitation. It's an invitation of wonderful grace. It's an invitation of wonderful love. May you call upon Jesus tonight. You know, we live in a very dark world, don't we? We live in a time where things are so uncertain. But you know, throughout all uncertainty, there's one thing that I can say I'm certain of. I'm certain that I'm saved. I'm secure in the arms of Jesus. I can say that I'm sure of my salvation. I can say I'm sure that the Saviour who loved me is coming again for me. I'm absolutely assured of that. And this is why we're standing and preaching the gospel. This is why we're announcing to you that there is a Saviour and he can save you for your sins. Because he saved me and he can save you as well. A wonderful Saviour. And there's no other way. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. God has presented Jesus as the Saviour of sinners. You can call upon him and be saved. There's no good works you can do. You know, some people, and we're all like this, and I put my hand on my heart and I say this when I was younger, sometimes when you do something that's wrong, you think, well, if I do something that's good, then that will make the wrong kind of seem less wrong. And that will make me feel maybe a bit better. But you know, it says in the scriptures that God can by no means clear the guilty. He can't just sweep our sins under the carpet and say, well, that's it. You've got 10 good works on this side and one bad work there. So, you know, it's all going to be okay. God is holy. He's just. Our sins cannot be just swept under the carpet. They have to be completely dealt with. And so that's why God sent Jesus into this world, the Saviour, who shed his precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Mm-hmm. You know, there was an evangelist, I don't know when it was, but he was preaching to a stadium full of people. And it was a rainy day. It was a rainy day. The rain was flooding down. People had umbrellas, obviously, because it was absolutely pouring it down. And this evangelist, he stood up. He didn't have an umbrella. He stood up and said, "You're all sheltering under umbrellas, but I am sheltering under the precious blood of Jesus." You know, what a wonderful message to present in the gospel. I am standing under the precious blood of Jesus. Are you standing under the precious blood of Jesus? Are you standing on the work of the Lord Jesus, the one who came into this world? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's Jesus, you know. And you can receive that by putting your faith and trust in Christ. There's no good works. There's no church attendance. There's no even owning a Bible. That can't save you. You know, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, all those religious leaders, they had the scriptures. They had the Old Testament in their hand. But you know, they missed the mark. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't see him in the scriptures. And he was standing right before them. And they couldn't see this wonderful Saviour that God had sent. You know, there's no good works, there's no church attendance that can save. I'll just finish just with telling maybe a story. And I apologise if you heard it before. I used to, when I was younger, listening to a preaching, and I still do when I'm listening to a preaching, I liked it when the preacher told a story. I remember one preacher once, he said, "You may have heard this story before." And he was a very good preacher at sharing stories, and every time he told a story, I'd never heard it. It's just a wonderful archive of stories he had. But I'm afraid I don't have that same archive. So you've probably heard this story before. It's a story of a farmer and a carpenter. And this carpenter wasn't a Christian. The farmer, he was a Christian. And the Christian farmer invited this man, this carpenter, along to a gospel preaching, just like this, to hear about Jesus. And at the end of the gospel preaching, he said to him, spoke to him about the Saviour and how you can receive Jesus as your Saviour by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And the carpenter, the man who was not a Christian, said, well, I just can't quite understand. Surely I must have to do something to be saved. There must be something I've got to do to be saved. I can't just believe and put my faith in Jesus and walk away. Surely I've got to do something. And he couldn't understand. He couldn't understand it. He thought, well, maybe if I give money to charity, or maybe if I do some great work, that would give me favour with God. But no, this Christian said, no, you can't do anything. In fact, in Ephesians, it says, doesn't it? It says, it's not by anything we've done, but it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. But he couldn't understand it. So, you know, this Christian farmer, he said, I wonder, could you do me, I've got some work on my farm. Could you build me a gate? Could you build me this gate for one of the fields I've got? I keep my sheep. And he said, okay, so he built this gate. It was delivered to the farm. It was slotted into this field. The gate posts either side, it fitted them. It was amazing. It was a wonderful, wonderful gate. It looked amazing. It was fit for purpose. It opened, it closed. It looked wonderful. And the Christian farmer invited the carpenter along to his farm to say, to see this gate. So come and see the work you've done. Come and see it in action. Come and see this gate. And so he went along and he saw the farmer. He was standing at the gate with an axe. And he said to this carpenter came up to him. He said, what are you doing with an axe? He said, I'm going to just make a few improvements to this gate of yours. And he said, well, why? Why would you do that? There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's fit for purpose. There's nothing wrong. It looks absolutely fine. It's a perfect job. It's a perfect job. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. It works perfectly. The farmer had made no difference. He lifted the axe and he went down, smashed it to pieces. He said, no, stop. You're ruining all my work. Do you know what? That Christian turned to him and said, no, my friend, it's what you're doing. When you're bringing your good works and adding them to the gospel, when you're bringing all the good things you've done and you're adding them to the work of Christ, you'll destroy the work of Jesus when you bring your good works and you bring all that list of good things like church attendance and all those wonderful things you might do, give money to charity. You can write a long list. But, you know, the message of the story, the message in the gospel is that everything's been done. Everything's been done by Jesus. And all he asks you to do is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. There's nothing you can add to the gospel. The word of God is preached. The obedience of faith. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. I apologise for the poor presentation of that story, but I trust that it might just illustrate something of the importance of the work of Christ. Everything, it was perfect, that gate, wasn't it? Didn't need any improvements, but what an illustration used to bring to the attention of that unsaved person that you cannot add to the work of Christ. You cannot add to the work of Jesus. He has absolutely completed it to God's satisfaction. God raised him from among the dead and he lives forevermore. Where you call upon him tonight and be saved for his name's sake.
Amen.